It's Monday, December 26, 2011. I'm Ben Bowden, and this is the First Baptist Daily, a daily podcast aimed at the understanding and application of God's Word. Well, by now, you're probably dizzy from all the food you've been eating, especially those good old peanut butter balls. A lot of people call them Buckeyes. I've always called them peanut butter balls, dipped in chocolate. Those are good. Well, here's what we're going to do this week. We're going to think through what most Americans are thinking about right now, and that is New Year's resolutions. And New Year's resolutions can be a good thing. They can be a bad thing, but they can be a good thing. I think it's wise to slow down as you approach another year and think through some of the important things in life. Resolutions are usually about working out or eating right, and those are good. People need to take care of their bodies for the glory of God. But what we're going to do this week is ask ourselves a few questions. And these questions are concerning our spiritual fitness. Donald Whitney was one of my professors in seminary, and he writes, "The beginning of a new year is an ideal time to stop, look up, and get our bearings. To that end, here are some questions to ask prayerfully in the presence of God." And then he gives a list of 10 questions. And so this week, we're going to look at four of these questions. And the first one, the one we're looking at today, reads, "What's one thing you could do this year to increase your enjoyment of God?" All right, one thing you can do this year to increase your enjoyment of God. Now, I like this question because it's a reminder that if our walk with God is a begrudging walk, we're missing it. And we're missing out on all that God is and all that He offers for His people, which is joy. "The joy of the Lord is my strength," Nehemiah 8:10. "The fruit of the Spirit is joy," Galatians 5:22. "Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy," 2 Corinthians 1:24. John Piper says it so clearly and in a beautiful, concise way. He says this in his book, Desiring God, really the thesis of it. He says, "God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him." He goes on to explain and he says, "God created us for His glory. He's commanded us to live for His glory. The question is, how? How do we glorify God? All right, if we want to glorify a beautiful painting, we don't feel a burden to work to improve it. You just simply enjoy it. You love it. You talk about it excitingly with your friends. Or if someone makes a wonderful meal and serves it up before you, how do you glorify the excellence of that meal? Not by putting on your apron, going out into the kitchen and make a few more dishes to add to it or a few spices. No, you glorify a perfect meal by eating it and eating a lot of it and by feeling contented and saying, that's good. In other words, if it is your duty to glorify something infinitely beautiful and wonderful, there's no burden. There's no burden there. It is a pleasure. In fact, when you take pleasure from it, you show that it is itself a treasure. If you get a $1 billion gift, all right, if someone gives you a $1 billion gift, you're not going to groan under the duty to feel thankful. Like the natural response is going to be thankfulness, gratitude. It is a pleasure, not a hardship. Now, you see what all this means, right? It means that God is love. It means that when He created us for His glory, He also created us for our joy. And how so? Well, it's because the way He seeks to be glorified in us is by making us satisfied in Him. The good news of Christianity is that God is the kind of God who is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. In sharing the truth of Christianity, truth number one is that God created us for His glory, all right? That's why He created us, for His glory. But truth number two is that this is, therefore, the duty of every man and woman and child, just to live for the glory of God. And the wonderful thing is that the duty is not a burden. It is a freedom and it is a joy. You glorify God's beauty and excellence by loving it and delighting in it. You glorify God's power by trusting Him with all the hard and threatening things in your life. You glorify God's bounty and generosity and kindness and grace by overflowing with gratitude. And you glorify God's wisdom by obeying his counsel. Taking him at his word and trusting him. And everybody knows that this is no burden. This is no heavy law. This is love. God is a God of infinite love because he wills to share all that he is with us for our enjoyment and for his glory. So this is the question. What's one thing you could do this year to increase your enjoyment of God? Some examples may be pray. You know, when you pray, you're trusting God. You're seeking his face. You feel the nearness of him, so you want to pray more. Maybe you want to read the Bible more, or read the whole Bible in one year, because you know that that's God's word. You get to know the character and nature of God and God himself more by reading your Bible. Maybe you want to go to church because you're thinking, you know, God has not called us to walk in isolation with him, but it is a communal thing. We are called to be the church, to be a community, a faith family. We're called to be a part of that. Maybe you want to witness more, whatever it may be. These are all great. Just remember, you do these things out of delight, not dreadful duty. Mine is going to be to preach the gospel to myself every day. All right, that's not some resolution that I'm going to beat myself up over if I don't keep it to with perfection, but this is what I know. If there's anything that's going to stir my heart with gladness in God and thereby glorify him, it's going to be the gospel. It's going to be remembering the good news that God, who is holy, made us in his image to know him, but we sinned and we cut ourselves off from him. In his great love, God became a man in Jesus, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross, thus fulfilling the law himself and taking on himself the punishment for the sins of all those who would ever turn and trust in him. He rose again from the dead, showing that God accepted Christ's sacrifice and that God's wrath against us had been exhausted. And now, he calls us to repent of our sins, meaning turning from them, and to trust in Christ alone for our forgiveness. If we repent of our sins and trust in Christ, we are born again into a new life, an eternal life with God. Now, that's good news, and that kind of news right there will stir a heart with affection. So here's the deal. I want my heart and my soul to just camp out on that truth every single day. That news will no doubt increase my enjoyment of God. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. May our enjoyment of God increase this year like never before, and in so doing, magnify Christ in all the earth. I'm Ben Bowden, and I'll meet you again tomorrow on the First Baptist Daily.